That was the band with music from Big Pink, of course, closing out that set. Just before that, we heard All Along the Watchtower from the Monkees. That's on their new Columbia album entitled Bunko Squad Lust. And before that, it was Neil Young eating breakfast, preceded by Bob Dylan, the Bay City Rollers, and Andy Williams. They're together at last, of course, and that was their great version of Staircase to Heaven. And before that, the Rolling Stones, Frank Sinatra, and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir leading off that set with their big re-release of Ahab the Arab. Before that, of course, there was a disco commercial and a public service announcement about Corn and Bunion Remedies. Before that, I talked for a while. I'm sure a few of you out there remember me talking. Before that, I washed my hands because... Well, before that, I noticed there was dirt on them, and I looked at them, and it was strange. I used soap instead of Barexo because, well, times are tough here at the studios. And I remember my mother from Wyoming called before that, and she's quite sick, as some of you out there may know. And before that, I was staggering down the hall. I remember on my way to work, and before that, God said, let there be light. And before that, there were... Kangaroos playing probably all over the plains. I'm really not sure. Before that.
This is UTV, for you, the viewer. The Howl of the Wolf movie. Presenting honest stories of working people as told by rich Hollywood stars. This morning's wacky feature, Porgy and Mudhead in High School Madness, with Dave Kasman as Porgy and Joe Bertman as Mudhead.
Porgy, tire biter, he's a spy and a girl delighter. Porgy, firefighter, he's a student like you. If you're looking for a captain of the ring ball team, you can bet he won't be there. You'll find him popping off at Pop's Sodium Shop to trim a red with red hair. Doobie-doo-wah, Porgy, tire-biter, just a student like you.
Like me?
Just a student like you.
Stop singing and finish your homework.
Just a student like you.
Adolph, come and get it. Your clam cakes are getting damp.
10-4, Eleanor.
Whew. Defoliating a victory garden certainly works up an appetite.
You sit down, Father, and dig right in.
That's right. This afternoon I'll be able to start digging the pit. If I can get some work out of that boy of yours, I can have the bunker finished by election day. Where is Porgy, anyway?
He's up in his room, helping Porcelain make the bed.
Oh, Porgy! Oh, my!
Porgy! Porgy, tell you about it!
You're coming, Mother!
He's so good with the servants, Fred.
Stop calling me Fred. My name's Adolf.
Bombs away, Dad. Morning, Mom.
Morning, son.
Oh, hot dog! Groat cakes again. Heavy on the 30 weight, Mom.
Don't eat with your hands, son. Use your entrenching tool.
Aw, gee, Dad, I'm just trying to save time. It isn't every day a guy graduates from high school.
How many times have I heard that before?
Well, you boys fight it out among yourselves.
Okay, Mother.
Look at the time. I've got to dress for my bridge club.
But, gee, Mom, isn't that bridge built yet?
No, son. And it won't be until free hands on both sides of the big ditch can press the same button at the same time.
Okay, Dad, I give. Oh, boy, can I eat my breakfast now?
Only if you stay out of trouble, boy. Your shenanigans could cost me this election.
Well, come on, Dad. No Irishman can stop you from getting to be dog killer this time. You're a natural.
Don't wolf your food.
Oh, there's Mudhead. Graduation, here I come. So long, Dad. Keep flying.
Oh, that son of mine.
He's not your son, Fred.
Stop torturing me, Ethel.
Come on, step on it, Mudhead.
Oh, I'd love to, Porgy, but I got my two tones through the floorboard already.
Well, okay, then we could take the shortcut through Frogtown.
All right, we could stop off at Pop's and dig some jugs.
Some what?
Oh, that Louise Wong's got a balcony you could do Shakespeare from.
Aw, not now, Mudhead. They need me at the last meeting of the Philatelist Club.
I didn't know you masturbated.
Aw, creepies, Mudhead. Where's your school spirit?
That's in the rumble seat. You want to snort?
Oh, very funny.
Sure is.
Gee, everybody at Moore Science High is an extracurricular activity but you.
Well, doesn't Louise count?
Only to 10, Mudhead. You know, that's just it.
Just what?
Well, we're the leaders of tomorrow.
Yeah, but it's today.
Well, yeah, but what are you going to do tomorrow after we graduate?
Oh, well, I thought maybe I'd go out and find a bunch of guys who dress alike and follow them around.
What?
Or I could go pick up a couple of girls.
Oh, is that all you think about, picking up things?
Yeah.
Golly, Mudhead. Don't you remember what Principal Boo put down at the pep rally yesterday?
Principal Boo?
P-E-P-E-P.
Thank you, fellow kids.
Quiet.
In addressing for the assembly this morning, thank you. I am recalling the words of the founder of Moore Science High School, Yucaipa Heap, who pressed the first bricks with his own hands. Knowledge for the people, he said. Give them a light, and they'll follow it anywhere. We think that is a fair and a wise guy for rule to be guided by.
What is reality?
And we're not afraid of it, are we?
Eat it!
You bet.
Eat it raw!
Raw, raw, raw. That's the spirits we have here. Okay, so come on, kids. Line up, sign up, and re-enlist today. Because we need more schooling, for more students, for more science high. Thank you. Fuck you, too.
So you see, Mudhead, it's like the pooper said. With counter-subversive educational priorities the way they are, well, it really helps our side to re-enlist.
Is that what you're going to do?
Oh, hell no. Right after I graduate, I'm going to cut the soles off my shoes, sit in a tree, and learn to play the flute.
Hey, look, Porgy!
Watch it!
Where are you going to graduate from?
Holy Mudhead Mackerel! More Science High! It's disappeared!
Peter, except you seem to lose the reality.
Good evening and welcome. It's time to play a new game show called It's Time to Play a New Game Show. Our contestants will be competing to see what our contestants will be competing to see. Let's meet our contestants, Ray.
Right, Billy. Our guests today are Reginald Blemfetti, a professor of semantics, and Jimmy Mahugajik, an acrostic analyst.
Now, Reginald, Jimmy, you know the rules.
No.
Good, let's get started.
Shall we sit down, Billy?
Is that a guess, Jimmy?
Yes, I think we sit behind a panel with flashing lights spelling both our names and a tally of the points we've won.
That's right. 5 points, Jimmy. Grab a seat behind our panel with flashing lights spelling both your names and a tally of the points you've won.
Okay.
Now, let's get started. Jimmy, you've got the 10-point lead.
Does that mean I get to guess first?
Sorry, Jimmy. Professor?
Is there a soft bell that dings when I'm correct for 5 points?
Correct for 5 points.
If I get one correct, do I get to guess again?
Sorry, that's wrong.
Does the buzzer go when I'm wrong?
Sorry, Professor. It's Jimmy's turn. Oh. Jimmy?
Does the buzzer go when I'm wrong?
That's correct, Jimmy.
Is it my turn to ask a question now?
5 points to you, Professor.
But now my turn is over and Jimmy gets to ask again.
Sorry, Professor, but your turn is over and Jimmy gets to ask again.
Is the idea of this game show to guess the idea of this game show?
Yeah! You got it!
Does Does Ray tell me what I've won?
Tell him what he's won, Ray.
He's won the home version of this game plus a series of gifts that the audience oohs and ahs over.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Professor. And congratulations, Jimmy. I'm Billy Camp.
Will Ray say guests of this show stayed at the Parkland Hotel where luxury and convenience go hand in hand?
No.
Hi, kids. It's time for Captain Jack. That's me.
And Jolly George. That's me.
Hey, what a show we got for you today.
Oh, boy, we always have a good show for you, don't we, kid? It's not like watching that square old Miss Dingling or anything like that, huh?
Hey, kids, remember yesterday on Cartoon Time? Yeah. We left Clarabelle the Clown and Hermie the Hermaphrodite all hung up in the back room. You see, what they were trying to do, they tried to hide the booze before Clarabelle's mommy came in.
Yeah. Hey, now how about you kids out there? You managed to get the booze hidden before mommy staggers home?
Oh, let's watch that now. Mommy don't want to see you getting smashed, too.
I'll tell you what you do, kid. You watch and see where Daddy hides his booze, and then you put yours in the same place. And then if she finds it, he gets busted, not you. See?
Yeah. It's so much fun seeing Daddy get all hung up like that.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, today is absolutely the last day to send for your Captain Jack and Jolly George Jr. junkie kit. You've got to have this kit.
Oh, boy. You've got to have it. And why is this the last day? I'll tell you why, kids. We were down at Tijuana, and our dealer has been busted by the fuzz.
Yeah.
So we're running just a little short of the stuff, kids.
I'll tell you. Now, of course, this is pure heroin you get. I mean pure heroin. No milk, sugar, no preservative, no flour added.
It is
dynamite.
I'll tell you, kid. Captain Jack and I shared a half a bag, shot it up just before the show. I'll tell you, I'm twisted, kids. Look at my eyes, huh? One taste, kids, and I'm stoned.
Now, of course, in the kit, you also get a U.S. Army surplus 12cc hypodermic needle.
That's right. And you get a genuine Rogers Silverware 1812 bent spoon. Yeah, that's to mix the fix, kids. And that spoon, yeah, hey, he knows, huh? Sure thing. And I'll tell you what, kids, that spoon is available in modern, traditional, provincial, or rosemead. Make sure you specify which pattern you want when you send in, kid.
And, of course, you get 3,669 feet of rubber tubing to wrap around your arm and get that vein popping out there.
That's
vein
out there. Hey, that's important. Hey, not only that, kid, you know what else you get? You get a 30-day supply of cotton to keep the spike clean. You know, don't want to get an abscessed vein. You know, Captain Jack, we had a lot of letters from kids. They're shooting up with a dirty spike, and they're getting an abscessed vein.
Oh,
now, kids, I'll tell you what you do. You keep that spike clean. And when you see that big bluish-purple splotch creeping up your arm, kid, it's time to switch to the main vein. Right back there, kid. That's it, kid. That's a wonderful spot.
Now, for the first 250 kids that send in for their kit, you're going to get a bonus, and that bonus is...
a genuine 8x10 autographed glossy picture of Alexander King.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You can hang it right beside Mummy's picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here, for your kit, you send to Captain Jack and Jolly George, care of Pusher, Hollywood 28, California.
In New York, call Withdrawal Symptoms 58964.
Okay, kids, it's time for milk. Milk drinking time on the Captain Jack and Jolly George show.
Gotta drink your milk with us, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's good. Now, don't forget, kids, you never outgrow your need for milk. You keep asking Mommy for milk. It's amber-colored, and it comes in a tall brown bottle with a picture of a white horsey on it.
Yeah. You love it. You love it. Now, this is for the little girls.
Little
boys, out of the room.
Little girls only.
That's right. Today is your next to last day to send for your Lolita kit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You see, in this kit, you get, of course, an autographed picture of Vladimir Nabokov and the original Lolita.
Hey, yeah, and I'll tell you, also get a little instruction booklet in there, girls. And you know something? If you girls read those instructions and do the exercises prescribed, that's kind of fun in itself, girls. I'll tell you what, in just 2 weeks, you'll be walking and talking and acting like girls twice your age. And you can pick up a little cash after school.
Yeah! Why not? Okay, kids, as we do every day, we want to leave you with our thought for the day. Above all,
don't forget to pray.
Night, kiddies.
Let's have Captain Whack and Cracker salute. La, 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 la. Come on, boys and girls. La, la, la. And let's watch our first cartoon right now. Turn it on, Engineer Stallo. Well, look at that, boys and girls. There's Jumbo the Elephant, an old sly fox. Look at that there. Old Jumbo's really sleeping, really snoring wood, that lazy old dirty elephant there. Hey, look at old Sly Fox. Look what he's doing. He's climbing on him now. Look at that. Old Sly Fox bit his eye out. Ain't that cute, boys and girls? All them elephants' eyes come out real quick, don't they? Uh-oh. Old Jumbo don't like that a bit. Look at that. He jumping up and he just stomped that fox's head right in. Did you ever see a fox's head crack that quick, boys and girls? Well, I never did. Excuse me, boys and girls. All right. You know what it's time for now, boys and girls, don't you? It's time for getting Mommy away from that set. Okay, get all our mommies away from that set. Come on, mommies. Get away from the set. It's private time now for Captain Whack and Cracker and all his little friends now. Is Mommy away from the set? That's right. Okay, boys and girls. Now let's get our Captain Whack and Cracker cereal box out. All right. Now let's get down the bottom there in our little stash and let's get out a cigarette and relax a little. Boys and girls, you know, I don't like to complain to you, but your mommies ain't buying them. That's right, light that cigarette up. No, that's the wrong end. Don't forget, not the filter end. That's right. Oh, you know, Captain Whack and Cracker's not selling them Whack and Cracker cereals like you ought to. Now, I just don't know what your mommies are doing. But if you love old boy Captain Whack and Cracker, you'll sure make a buy them cereals for me. If you don't want Captain Whack and Cracker to get off the air. That's right. Now, you know that we're being rejected by Mommy all the time. And remember them rules to really make them snap, too. Now, when we're walking across the street, what do we do? What do we do when we walk across the street and we see a big truck coming? We just run out there, make it chicken out, don't we? That's right, that's what we do, boys and girls. Mommy is right back to the set now, and that's our little secret time. All right, boys and girls, don't forget tomorrow, we're going to see the snake eat up that chicken that we took them pictures in the jungle. It's always a good time here on Captain Whack and Cracker Show. So till tomorrow, bye, boys and girls. Goodbye, Captain Whack and Cracker.
Oh, I'm sorry, you caught me practicing with my sticks. At least that's what the kids are calling it nowadays. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Hello again from me here at the Bitslap. And after last week's tragic Chicago Cubs tribute, I thought we'd bring the level up a little bit. So today we're bringing you funny stuff, okay? And with that in mind, we started with the Fire Sign Theater. It was High School Madness. That is the first part of their third mind-breaking record with the world's greatest title, Don't Crush That Dwarf, Hand Me the Pliers, from about 1969 or so. After that, the Frantics game show. That was from their album Boot to the Head from 1987. They were kind of a Canadian Monty Python. And they've had a couple of on-again, off-again reunions since about 2004. So who the hell knows what's going to happen next with them. Following that, Burns and Carlin. Jack Burns and, yes, George Carlin. Back around 1960. I think probably from an album called Burns and Carlin at the Playboy Club. Jack Burns later joined up with Avery Schreiber and, of course, formed Burns and Schreiber. And, of course, you know what happened to George. Burns is still alive, but alas, not poor George. Following that, Lenny Bruce, Captain Whackencracker. From back in the days, I guess probably the late 50s, back before he became a lawyer. Lenny's real name, by the way, was Leonard Schneider. I don't know if you knew that or cared. So, okay. Get ready to laugh. If you are not laughing already, then I have not done my job. But We'll bring you more stuff here. Amusing. What can I tell you? So coming up next, some old stuff, like 78s and stuff. That they had comedy back then, believe it or not. I'll be back to tell you about it. Stay tuned. I'm hoarse today. That's life.
Of the efforts of Mr. Cohen to use the telephone for the first time. Mr. Cohen is trying to call up the manager of a certain bank who happens to be his landlord. The conversation is as follows. Hello? Are you there? Hello? Hello? What? What number do I want? What numbers have you got? Excuse me, my fault. I want Central 248, please. Yes, that's right, 248. I say, miss, am I supposed to keep on saying, are you there and hello until you come back again? Well, don't be long. Hello? And are you there? Oh, yes. Are you the bank? Yes? I want to see the manager, please. I want to see. What do you say? This is not a telescope, it's a telephone. You're very clever this morning, ain't you? Well, do me a favor. Hang a small piece of crepe on your nose. Your brains are dead. And if I have any more of your impertinence, I'll speak to the manager about you. I say I'll speak to the... Oh, you're the manager. I beg your pardon. I'm much obliged. Say, Mr. Manager, I rang up to say I'm your tenant Cohen. I say I'm your tenant Cohen. I ain't going. I'm sitting here. I'm your tenant Cohen. Not Lieutenant Cohen. I want to tell you that last night the wind came and blew down the shutter outside of my house, and I want you to send... I say last night the wind came, and the wind, V-I-N-D, wind, not the devil. The wind, but you know what... like that. Well, that blew my shutter down outside of my house, and I want you to... I say it blew the shutter out. The shutter. No, I didn't say shut up. No, the shutter. The thing what goes down the front of the shop. I want you to send the carpenter to mend the shutter. I say I want you to send the carpenter to mend the shutter. To mend it. Not the tremendous shutter. No. Hello? Are you there? Last night the wind came and blew down the shutter outside of my house. And I want you to send a carpenter, a working man. Yes, you know, one of those fellas what hits the hammer with the nails. That's it. A workman I want you to send, a workman to mend the damaged shutter. I say I want you to send the workman to mend, not to mend. No, one man to mend the damaged shutter, to mend the damaged. I ain't swearing at you. I'm only telling you. Are you there? Last night, the wind came and blew down the shutter outside of my house. And I want you to send the carpenter. A cup? I never mind. I'll have it fixed myself.
Well, sure, we ain't got any barber in Funking Center, so I always shave myself till Nancy got to using my razor to cut her corns with, and then I quit shaving and raised whiskers, but Nancy cut my hair with a sheep shears, and after she got through with it, gosh, I was a sight. I looked like an escaped convict or a fur coat that had molted. Well, to save myself torture, I took to wearing my hair long. Guess I'd be doing it yet, but for one thing, there was a show come to Punkin Center, and I guess pretty nigh the whole village went to see it. While there was a magic feller there, and he asked for someone to come up on the platform and help him, and like a darn fool, I'd done it. Oh, yes, I helped him right smart. Well, that fella turned me around facing all the folks, and Nancy said it was just sinful what he done to me. He took a pack of cards and two bottles of whiskey out of my pocket, an old hen and a dozen eggs out of my hair, a rat trap, two rabbits, and a pigeon out of my whiskers. Gosh, I never felt so foolish in all my born days. And Nancy said my face was so red, she was afeard my whiskers would take fire. Well, while I was down here in New York, I allowed I'd have a regular barber cut my hair, and I went into one of your barber shops and told a feller what I wanted, and a whole crowd of them went to work on me. One feller went to blacken my boots, another went to cleaning my clothes, and a gal went to whittling my fingernails, and the barber went to talking. Gosh, how that feller could talk. He told me six funny stories, told me what horse would win the race, how the ball game would come out, what Congress was going to do, and who was going to be the next president, and then asked me if I wanted him to go over the chin again. I told him I heard him the first time. He cut at my hair till he got tired, and then he singed me like a chicken. He asked me four times to have some bay rum, and when he couldn't get me to drink it, he put it in my hair. He shaved my whiskers in the middle and dyed them black, tied my head up in hot rags, and then turned a buzz fan on me. While when I got out of there, I never was so dutied up in all of my life. And when I got home, it was a full minute before Nancy knowed me, and for a whole week I was a stranger in my own hum. Our dog tried to bite me, the horse kicked at me, the cow wouldn't let me milk her, and I couldn't get within gunshot of anything on the place. And when we went to church, the minister preached a sermon about Delilah cutting Samson's hair, and everybody knowed he was hinting at me. Well, the black has wore off my whiskers and my hair has growed out. Yesterday I seen Nancy sharpening the sheep shears, so I suppose in a day or so I'll look natural again.
In the following work, various sounds and musical themes will be used to represent the different characters and places in our story. Our heroine, Portia, will be recognized by this theme.
La, 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 la.
Our hero, a radio announcer, will be identified by... Our villain, a Hollywood agent, by... Now, Portia... works in a typical California eating place known as a drive-in.
My name is Portia Clam Fuddle. Of course, that's my stage name. I work as a waitress in this here drive-in, but I am really an actress. To be... Oh, what is to be? That is the question. Whether 'tis better to eat a hamburger with onions or without. To smooch or not to smooch? That is the answer.
And now our hero, the radio announcer, works in a radio station.
Super sad, super sad, that's my sad, was super sad.
You see, it's a CBS station.
I am a radio announcer. I broke into radio as a disc jockey. I was the only disc jockey in the country who could ride a record side saddle. Then I got an offer to come to Hollywood. My sponsor was Dr. Cavity, the friendly credit dentist. You've heard his slogan, no down payment, no cosigners, no teeth, just gum.
One day our hero was returning from the radio station.
Super sad, super sad, lots more sad from super sad.
And he stopped in at the drive-in.
Burp, burp.
our hero honked his horn for service, our heroine pitter-patted to his car. She handed him a menu. He looked it over carefully and said,
"Darling, I have fallen in love with you. My heart is beating for you. Listen. I gotta stop eating those Cougots Nougots. Will you marry me?"
Her eyelids fluttered shyly. She looked at him and said very coyly,
"What's the matter? You crazy or something, hey?"
"No, I'm serious. Marry me and we'll settle down in my little nest in Laurel Canyon."
"Oh, you got a home there?"
"No, a nest." "I share it with two robins."
"Robins? You're kidding."
"No, I pay my rent by doing pre-babysitting."
"Pre-babysitting?"
"When they go out for the night, I sit on the eggs." "What do you say?"
"Well..."
Just as she was about to give her answer, Fate took her hand.
"I'm Fate.
Here, take a hand."
Into the drive-in drove the Hollywood agent. In a long, low convertible with a top that went up and down. Imperiously, he blew his horn to service. Under the hood, he had the United States Marine Band. The villain said to her,
"You have a beautiful radio voice. Come with me and I will make you a star. I will give you jewels, furs, a servant."
So she got into the long, low convertible with a top that went up and down. And was about to drive off when our hero stopped her.
"Darling, would you rather marry him and have jewels, furs, and servants? Or would you rather have me?"
To which she replied in a sad voice,
"What's the matter, kid? You flip your lid?"
And so off she drove to the radio station. And sadly, our hero, the radio announcer, went back to his tranquil way of life. In the daytime, he had his commercials.
Friends, do you suffer from lower plate wobble? Then try Dr. Cavity's miraculous new discovery, glue.
And at night, he would pre-babysit on the robin's eggs while they were out for a lark. And as he sat there, he would say to himself,
"What do I need her for? Look, I've just become a mother."
In the old days, we had them sambas and rumbas and that bunny hug. That had a rhythm that beat your brains out. Calypso.
Will you shut up?
Everybody. What's the matter? Ain't there no privacy anymore? Give me them good old gas lights and rocking chairs. Want to pull a tooth? Go to a barber. Those were the days. Merengue. I can remember when it was a pie. Calypso.
Will you shut up?
Penicillin, wonder drugs. It's a wonder you're alive with all them needles and jabbing holes into you. Take a good stiff drink today, it comes shooting out of your hips like Niagara Falls. All day, all night. Can't even get a good night's rest anymore. Calypso.
Will you quiet down?
double ring ceremonies. Oh, they really spring the booby trap on you these days, don't they? Sunken living rooms. Suppose there's a flood. Drive-in movies. Drive-in the Roxy. See what they do to you. Mama, look at boo-boo. In my time, the only one Mama ever looked at was Papa. Calypso. Will you shut your yap? Orlon sweaters. Put one on, you get electrocuted. Canned beer. Hoo-hoo. Chug-a-lug with a keg or a barrel with a guy underneath grabbing at the drippings. That's my kind of world. Yes, sirree, Bob. Tally me banana.
You mind changing your direction?
Unbreakable glass. You hit a guy with a bottle, you vibrate for an hour. CinemaScope. Nickelodeons. Calypso.
How about a nice sandwich?
Aspirins. What's the matter? Afraid of a good headache? Take your mind off your worries. Diners, clubs. You gotta join a club to eat. In the old days, load up on that free lunch, slop it up till you drop, unattached. Today, you gotta join a society to buy a book. Shaving in taxis. In the old days, you get your girl in the back of a taxi, didn't do no shaving.
There's ladies present, pal.
Oh, where are those men-only joints? Chlorophyll. The next thing you know, they'll be injecting air wick into salami. Everybody. Nobody. Calypso. Automatic wristwatches. What's the matter with a cuckoo clock? Too corny for you? Cunning little bird comes out every hour on the hour, honking his brains out, drive you crazy after a while, but it was honest. Somewhere there's a million cuckoos looking for a hole in the clock. That thought ever occur to you? Ballpoints. I hear one more guy clicking his ballpoint in the movie house, I croak him. Boy, am I glad that jazz is over with. My song's next, ain't it?
It's your dime.
Ah, now this is music.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
Oh, that's what I like. Baseball. I don't like no winter sports.
Skiing.
What's that?
Skiing.
It's for kids, that's what it is. Me, I'm a baseball man. Not only I like baseball, but I'm a Brooklyn Dodger man. And don't laugh at us people from Brooklyn. Because we know what we're doing. The rest of the world's mixed up. I'll tell you the truth, I like to give you an impression of a true Brooklyn Dodger fan. As you probably know, all ball games in Brooklyn start at 1:30. Game starts 1:30, half past 7 in the morning, I find this fella standing in line. 7:30 in the morning. He wouldn't wait on line this long for a job. 11 o'clock, he yells to somebody, anybody. Open the gates! You creeps! I'm sweating! My sandwiches are spoiling! Finally, they open the gates. If they're waiting in line so long, you figure this guy went to the front row, front seat, wouldn't you? Not this fella. His favorite seat has been the 15th row behind a pole. He don't like baseball. 1 o'clock, somebody in a subtle Brooklyn voice will suggest that the ball game is about to begin. Something like, here comes the Brooks. Who's pitching? This fella says, let me look. I can see 20-20. 20 inches from one eye, 20 inches from the other eye. It's Oiskin.
Oiskin? What are you doing? Throwing a game?
This fella says, let him pitch. This fella says,
I don't want it. This guy says, let him pitch. Because I don't want it. You can let him pitch.
Okay. You know, it wasn't for that fella said, okay, Ice could never pitch a ball game. Then the guy says, I'll bet you half a buck the first ball Carl throws is a strike. Put up or shut up. Put your money where your mouth is. I'll bet you half a buck against your glasses and send you home blind. He's trying to ball, a bet's off.
Strike one!
I'll blind you. Cost me a half a buck. This goes on until about the ninth inning when the Brooklyn's leading 2-1. Possible. So the fella in center field bleachers begins to talk to Ice Skinner pitcher to hold the lead. Oyster's only 10 miles away, but he's going to hear my boy. My boy's talking pretty loud. He sounds something like,
"Pitch them, Carl! I'm with you! I'm with you, Carl Perry! I'm with you!"
Ball one.
"Don't mean a thing, Carl! You can do it anytime you want, baby! You're beautiful, baby! I'm with you, boy! Wait, Carly Perry!"
Ball two.
"Let's feed him the fair ones, Ice! Don't give him nothing to hit her! Put a ball through his head, Carl! I'm with you, boy!"
Ball three. "What are you doing? What are you doing? We took you out of the minors for this? What are you doing?" Ball four. "Straight up to the Giants."
Four, it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
What are you going to be drinking, Miss Lemus?
Just anything, I guess.
Should I order for you?
Oh, all right.
I probably like an Alexander. Ladies like them an awful lot. I noticed 9 times out of 10.
They're a little sweet.
How about you like? I'll just add, Morris. Bring us a couple of Rhine ginger ale, a Canadian Club. All right. Thank you. That's a very careful job you did on that whole Mimeo deal, Miss Lemus. I wanted to commend you. I didn't want to do it in front of the other girls, you know, because once you start that stuff...
Oh, yes. Well, thank you very much.
It's just crystal clear. I didn't know that you could make that many copies and,
have them
all clear.
Ran them on the mimeograph, and they came off.
They're just remarkable, really.
Well, thank you.
Because, I know that old Mimeo. It doesn't always behave that way.
You have to keep inking it.
Yes.
And then it works well, though. But
your average girl isn't going to care, you see.
Sometimes. I know a lot of the times, when I'm in the office and some of the girls are working on the mimeograph and I see that it's getting low on ink, I'll go up to them and I'll say, it's getting low on ink.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And they'll just... keep doing it, and it'll be very, very faint copies.
Yeah, well, a lot of them just don't give a damn, and...
Well, it's not so much they don't give it. I think that they're not so much lazy as they don't know how important it is,
Yes.
Because it is important, I think.
Well, if you get somebody like yourself who feels that we're all one family, which we are, then...
Yes. I think that that's just the wonderful thing about GAA and P, and that is that everybody is, you're not just going to a job and working. I mean, everyone is just so nice to you.
Thank you, Morris.
Thank you.
Well, that's the way we like the girls to feel. Drink up, honey. Miss Lemus,
very good.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's a good rye. Nothing fancy, but it's...
In the drink?
Yes.
Yes, well, it's not... it doesn't bother you.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Yeah. Gee, it's awful nice to sit here with you. I tell you, my wife is up in the mountains. She goes every summer. She goes up to the mountains, and I just rattle around in a big apartment all by myself.
Oh, gee. If you close off some of the rooms sometime, if you can do that.
Just me and the hi-fi.
Well, it's very nice to have a hi-fi, just for that reason. I just have a record player, but I know that sometimes when I'm alone at night, if I didn't have that record player, I'd really go out of my mind.
You like Andre Castellanets, Miss Lemus?
I really listen mostly to semi-classical music.
Yes, me too. I just got a whole Castellanos thing playing Footlight Favorites, a lot of the semi-class stuff.
I really love music. I don't understand it or anything, but I know what I like.
I'd like to play it for you if you're interested. I don't know, I could just hop up there and give it a whirl. I don't know.
To your apartment?
Yeah, well, you could get to see my dog, and he's kind of a cute little fella. That's an awful nice record. I just thought, if...
Well, you mean tonight?
Yeah, it's right around the corner. I don't know, you know, if you wanted to just listen to the record for a second.
Well, what time is it?
Oh, it's just 9:15. You know, we got to still catch a train. It was just an idea, you know. Why don't you come up for just a second? I'll play you the record. You're really going to like it, I know.
I have to catch the train.
Morris, all right, that'll be our check, please. Thanks, fella.
I can only stay for just
yeah, sure.
1 second.
Right, we'll just hop up and play the record. Okay?
All right.
Okay. I'll be up with it. Okay, yeah. I've been working on that one all week. Cool. All right. We started that set with Barney Bernard, I believe. Now, I've had trouble. I couldn't find anything about him. I looked him up, and apparently he didn't exist, so... probably a figment of your imagination. That was Cohen on the phone. He did a lot of those misadventures of a guy named Cohen with modern technology back in the old days. After that, Uncle Josh at the Barber from Laughing Cal Stewart. Laughing Cal Stewart was born in 1856 and died in 1919. Of course, he was best known for his Uncle Joth Weathersby stuff, which was set in the mythical town of Punkin Center, somewhere in New England. Performed all over the country in vaudeville, circuses, Chautauquas, etc. And he was a close friend of Thomas Edison, Mark Twain, and Will Rogers. And he left behind an enormous body of work. Wrote books, he was in movies, all kinds of stuff like that. Not bad for a guy who was dead before the 20s. After that, Spike Jones... The Adventure of Portia and the Hollywood Wolf. There is so much live Spike Jones out there, it is not even funny. It is funny, but it's just ridiculous, thanks to the miracle of CDs. I have a lot of it, and I keep threatening to give you a Spike Jones show someday, and I will come through my threat. Swear to God. Don't push me! After Spike, we heard Eddie Lawrence, Lord Bellyache. Eddie, of course, known for his hangy bunky things. He was also a TV host, hosted Three Stooges on Channel 11 here in New York before Officer Joe Bolton came to town. We heard from Phil Foster, the Brooklyn baseball fan. You remember him as the dad in Laverne and Shirley. He was Shirley's dad. And then Nichols and May from their Improvisations to Music series. That was the Cocktail Piano. Nichols and May are both still with us and still quite creative. So that brings us up to where we are now, which is, I don't know, 12:45, 12:30 something else. So I think I'll just go back to playing, and I will be back shortly with more excuses. Hang in there.
Anybody got a heart condition, they better cover their ears. All right, now everybody be quiet and no crying, because it's a real scary story that my grandfather told me right before he died. Once upon a time, there was three little pigs. And no, wait a minute now. This is about three other little pigs. This is about three real bad little pigs who used to mess up the house all the time. And they'd leave all their clothes laying all over and their toys on the stairs, and they used to run around the house all day and yell and scream and never shut up and or blow their nose or nothing. And the worst thing, they used to never lift up the toilet seat. And this made their mother real mad. So one day, the mother says to the father, I'm sick up and fed with these three little pigs. All they do all day is run around the house and make noise, and they never clean up their room or blow their nose. And the worst thing, I'm getting sticky buns. And the father said, yeah, I know. And I'm sick up and fed with those three little pigs, too. So I got an idea. Tomorrow, when the three little pigs go to school, let's move. So early the next morning, the father got up and went down and rented a U-Haul trailer. And then he came back and stopped by the supermarket and picked up a whole bunch of cardboard boxes and brought them all home. And they packed everything in the whole house except for the ring around the bathtub. And then they moved right across the street to her mother's house, because they knew the three little pigs would never find them there, because they weren't allowed to cross the street by themselves. So that afternoon, when the three little pigs came home from school, they went into the house to turn on the TV to watch cartoons. And the first thing they noticed was there was no cartoons and no TV to watch them on. And they looked around the house and they said, hey, I think somebody moved. And the second little pig said, yeah, I think it was our parents. And the third little pig said, well, where are we going to watch cartoons? Then, all of a sudden, there came a big knock on the door. Boom, boom, boom. So the three little pigs ran over to the window to see who it was. And they saw that it was the landlord. So the first little pig, remembering what his father told him to say when the landlord came around, yelled out, there's nobody home. And the landlord didn't believe that. So he knocked on the door again. Boom, boom, boom. So the second little pig said, the check's in the mail. And the landlord still didn't believe that either. And he knocked on the door again. Boom, boom, boom. And then the third little pig said, hey, landlord, can we come over to your house and watch cartoons? And that made the landlord really mad, because he hated cartoons, especially the Flintstones. So the landlord banged on the door again and said, hey, you pigs, you let me in. And the first little pig said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And the landlord went nuts, and he kicked the door in, and he walked in, and he said, okay, which one was the poet? And the first little pig said, oh, you like that? I got a million of them. And the landlord said, I'll show you how much I like that. And he grabbed the little pig and he ate them all up. And then he grabbed the second little pig and ate him all up too. And the third little pig said, gee, he must be mad. I never saw him do that before. I better think of something while I stall for time. And he asked the landlord, hey, landlord, do you want a Bromo Seltzer or something? And the landlord just let out a big burp and kept coming towards the third little pig. So the third little pig said, gee, this calls for desperate action. So he reached down and he took off his shoe and he held it up to the landlord's face. And the landlord took one whiff and his eyes bugged out like a Volkswagen and they started watering and he fell down on his knees and started choking. And then the little pig did something he never did before in his life. He took off his sock and he stuck it in the landlord's mouth. And the landlord started gagging and choking and crying and spitting up. And he fell over and he kicked his legs three times in the air and fell over dead. And so the moral of the story is, always walk softly but carry a big stink. How do you like that one? Pretty good story, huh? Hey, what are you kids doing? Hey, you put your shoes back on. Come on, you little mofo, put your shoes back on. Don't take off your sock. Come on, hey, help! Hey, help! Help! Come on, you little, get away from me!
With it.
Ernie, it's me, Bert. Would you open the door? I got the stuff.
Who is it?
Ernie, it's Bert. Will you open the door? I brought the stuff. Cut. Listen, Ernie, that big bird saw me coming over here. I got the stuff. Will you open the door?
Who is it?
It's Bert. Ernie, will you open the door?
Bert's not here right now.
Ernie, I know Bert's not here. I am Bert. Will you open the door? I brought the stuff.
I'll never forget the day Dad made toast.
It was a sunny Saturday morning in late October near Halloween. Mom was outside putting a scarecrow with a pumpkin head up on the roof. Dad was in bed.
Hey, kids!
Dad yelled,
come here!
My older sister Lucy and little brother Danny and I were busy watching the Three Stooges.
Whoa!
But we ran upstairs during the commercial. Dad broke the big news.
I'm going to make toast.
Wow!
We cried.
Yep. Right this minute. And we're not talking ordinary ho-hum toast, believe you me. We're talking Dad's special cinnamon toast. And I don't want your mom to lift a finger. I'm handling the whole thing.
Dad jabbed his fist in the air like a football coach.
Let's hit that kitchen team. Yeah!
We raced him downstairs. Dad opened and closed a few cabinets.
Now, let's see. Plates.
Mom knocked on the kitchen door with her elbow. She was lugging two pots of geraniums. Dad flung open the door and gave her a kiss.
Ah, thanks.
Mom said as she passed through to the living room.
Breakfast is coming right up, Angel Face. I'm making my special cinnamon toast. Just leave everything to me. You are going to love it.
Mom's voice drifted back from the family room.
Terrific, hon.
Linda?
He called.
Where are the big blue plates?
In the dishwasher.
Right!
Danny and I got the plates and the juice glasses from the dishwasher and started to put them on the table.
No, no, kids. The plates have to be preheated. That's what they do in fancy restaurants.
Mom came back in, dragging the vacuum cleaner behind her. She picked up the phone and called her office.
Hi, it's me. I spoke to the Blums, and they're willing to go to 73.5.
Mom's a real estate agent. They all talk like that.
Okay,
Dad yelled.
Let's get this show on the road, Johnny.
That's me.
We need about a dozen slices of bread. White bread, not the healthy kind. Healthy bread doesn't work. Now, where is that darn toaster?
Here, Dad.
Danny giggled. It had a quilted toaster cover over it.
Why would anybody want to cover up a toaster?
Lucy and I tried not to laugh, but Danny was too young to know any better.
Daddy couldn't find a toaster.
I know where the toaster is, Danny. I just couldn't see it. Now get over there and help count the bread.
Mom walked through on her way down to the laundry room with a large armload of dirty clothes.
Sugar?
Yes, cupcake?
No, honey. I mean, where's the sugar?
Bottom shelf!
She called over her shoulder.
Right! Okay, kids, start toasting that bread.
Mom started a buzzsaw in the basement. She's been building new shelves for the family room. Also a sun deck. Also an addition to the garage. Mom came up from the basement tugging a bag of cement mix.
How's that first batch of toast coming, guys?
Dad called to Danny and me. Okay, I said.
Butter it and bring it over to me and Lucy, fast.
Mom muscled the cement mix out the kitchen door. Danny poured the juice and put the napkins on the table. I kept buttering the toast and immediately brought it to Dad, who immediately sprinkled it with the cinnamon mixture and gave it to Lucy, who immediately put it in the oven with the preheated plates. Once we had gotten our system down pat, Dad relaxed a little.
You know, kids, times have really changed. I mean, my father wouldn't have been caught dead doing any housework, but we're modern families now, and here you have a manly guy like me pitching in like this after a hard week's work, making breakfast so his wife can take a little break. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's beautiful, Dad.
Mom knocked on the door with her elbow again. Dad rushed over to let her in.
Ready for the most delicious toast you've ever had in your life, Linda?
Can I wash my hands first, or is the flavor peaking this very second?
Linda, this is no time for sarcasm. Just sit down and relax. You too, kids. And now, the pièce de résistance. Ladies and gentlemen, Dad's special toast!
Hooray! Yay! Yay!
We all cheered.
Hooray for Dad! Hooray for Dad!
Dad took a bow and sat down to eat. We all munched in silence for a minute. Then Danny spoke up.
What's the big deal? All he did was make toast. Danny!
Lucy scolded.
That's not very nice, Dad. It's really great toast.
We all went back to munching.
But But Mom does a million times more housework every day, and we hardly ever thank her at all. We never go, yay!
Everybody was quiet. Then Dad took a deep breath. He started yelling,
yay!
And then so did Lucy and Danny and I, and we all made Mom get up and take a bow. Mom blew a kiss like a movie star and raised her glass of orange juice.
A toast,
she declared.
A toast,
said Lucy, lifting her glass.
A toast,
said Dad, holding up a piece of toast.
To my perfect, helpful children. To my loving, supportive husband.
Hear, hear.
To the yard,
said Mom.
Huh?
Huh? Huh?
Huh?
Ha! To the yard,
Mom repeated, gesturing toward the pile of cement bags.
What do you say we go work off some of this hearty breakfast?
She headed for the door and then turned and winked.
Oh, and by the way, what are you guys making for dinner?
Twentieth Century Freeburg presents Uninterrupted Melody. This is the story of men in uniform, their loves, their hopes, their dreams, and of the task to which they have so devoted their lives. Yes, to that gallant corps of heroes, the good humor men of America, is this picture respectfully dedicated. Do you know what it's like after having a day off with the family to try to sleep on the night before you report back for action? Do you know what it's like to lie there and live with fear? Charlie Krasmeyer knows.
Charlie, what are you doing?
I'm lying here living with fear.
Well, try and get some sleep, sweetheart.
Yeah, I'm just lying here thinking about tomorrow.
Well, you just mustn't lie there thinking about tomorrow.
Tomorrow, it's Pop Goes the Weasel and hundreds of grimy little hands reaching out for ice cream bars. Walter Yoder cracked up last week. I saw him when he took him away, Sue. It wasn't pretty. Are you sorry you married a good humor man?
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Oh, no, no.
Are you sure it was? No? Are you sure it wasn't just the glamour of the uniform and all?
Charlie, I'd love you whether you had that white coat or not.
Yes, men like Charlie Krasmeyer know their job is no easy one, but they live with it, and they report for duty every day at the plant, where their boss, the chief, Commander F.C. Barr, is just now entering the building. He opens the door and confronts a small, bald man with horn-rimmed spectacles who looks up from the piano.
Green. Morning, Commander.
Yes, what's going on around here? That's all I want to know, Green. I heard one of our trucks over in Westwood playing hound dog.
But, F.C.
Listen, I had that truck taken out of service immediately. Nursery song, that's all I want to hear. They don't cost us anything.
But, F.C., the men get punchy from nursery songs. They're cracking up out there.
Cracking up, you say? Nonsense. Every American loves nursery songs. Besides, they're free.
Yeah, but...
Maybe you'd like to go back to television and write Briar Patch Leg jingles.
Okay. That's my sore spot. Say, here's a little thing I've been working on this morning. Now, how does this strike you? The three little kittens, they lost their mittens, and they began to cry. Meow! Meow!
Wait a minute.
Meow,
hold
me.
Hold it. Sure you aren't using a Castellanets arrangement?
Positive.
It's good.
Oh, yes.
By one of our more enthusiastic salesmen, I think.
A cue card for 3 days now. He came in last week.
Get him out of here. Take him out. He's too enthusiastic. Get him out. From the acute ward, you say?
Yeah, poor devil. I know him. His name is Heinegger.
He had the nerve to ask me to take him off London Bridge and put him on Yankee Doodle 2 weeks ago. But he had a month to go yet. That's the trouble with labor today. Wishy-washy.
That's right, F.C.
You bet that's right. Now get back to work. I got an employee pep meeting in 5 minutes.
This is the briefing room where every morning 200 white-coated good-humor men sit glumly staring into space, horribly calm, not daring to think about the day ahead of them, only anxious to get the job done.
All righty, men. Yes. Thank you for that splendid ovation. Let's stand up and sing our little song now, and let's sing it like we were in a good humor, eh? Yes.
Humor, humor, yes, we are good humor, that is not no rumor, yay, bo, music, music, how we love the music, lovely nursery music, tinkling as we go, earplugs, earplugs, we won't wear at all, or we will be sentenced to 100 days of Yankee Doodle, course the tutti frutti. Sell it by the oodle. Good humor, we love you. Yay.
Well, that was fine, just fine, man. You can tell a real GH man every time, I always say. You know, you don't eat our bars with your fingers. There's a stick to it. Well, man, that's the key to successful selling. Stick to it, right?
Yay.
Yes, ice cream salesmen are the backbone of this nation, if you ask me. You men keep up the good work, and one day soon, I'll have your chimes tuned.
See if I won't.
No, I won't hold you, because I know you're anxious to get out in the field.
Pardon me, Mr. Barr, sir.
Well, Charlie Kranzmeyer, what is it?
I've been on Pop Goes the Weasel for 3 weeks now. Could I please trade with Jones here? He's got 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie.
You know the rules, Kranzmeyer. The cycle's 8 weeks.
I can't stand Pop Goes the Weasel. I come home at night, I can't sleep. All night long, I hear a penny for a spool of thread, a penny for a needle. I'm sick of it. Sick, sick, sick.
Oh, now, let me have his song, sir. I like Pop Goes the Weasel, honestly.
Nonsense. Pop Goes the Weasel is Kranzmeyer's assignment. Just for that outburst, Charlie, you can't have 4 and 20 blackbirds at all. When your time is up, you'll get the farmer in the dell.
Not the farmer in the dell! I had that last cycle!
Get back in your seat, sir.
Do we get earmuffs or don't we?
Well, we can talk about it. I...
What do you mean, talk about it?
Put me down! This is mutiny!
Oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. Oats, peas, beans, all nursery songs, nuts. I am the laughing stock of Robbins, Feist, and Miller. I gotta get away from this. I'll just take a shortcut through the parking lot here. Hey, that's funny. Somebody left their motor running. What's this? Somebody bound and gagged in the front seat. Heavens to popsicles! FC, it's you! And somebody's tied greasy ropes around your nice brown suit. FC! That ain't no brown suit. You've been dipped. Let me get that gag out of your mouth there. Oh, gee, boss. You got little bumps all over. You must be all pecan crunch underneath the chocolate.
Hey.
Subconscious mind, my lords, my ladies, gentlemen. Have you ever swung along a beautiful country road with a gleam of sweet life in the air, groovy with gold in your pocket, riding a wild set of wheels at an easy pace? Are you there? Everything is smooth and cool. There's some traffic, but not too much traffic. But it's all right, you see, because you've got everything covered. You understand? And you're driving along in the feel of the sun, and the radio's swinging a beautiful, crazy, wild tune. And you feel so good, you feel right in there tight. Can you feel it? Yes. And suddenly your mind goes over to Hitleyville. You start thinking about a beautiful girl that you met there 5 years ago. And what a gasser she was. Oh, take me now! Beautiful. Have your nose rubbed in a rose garden so many roses you can't later. You can think about how charming she was, how gracious her people were, what a ball you had, what a beautiful time, how sweet, how generous, how crazy, how like a home in a home in a home in a home home. Kick it was. And you've got to think of how you went out to the lake and you, man. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. And you go many, many other places along that Rosetta, the Reverie Creek, and all of a sudden you say, what am I doing? Wait a minute. Is everything all right? I haven't hit anything. I don't think I have. No. Those fenders all right? Yes. Good. Excellent. Well, better watch what I'm doing here. Who do you think's been driving while you were gone?
Okay, that will be all, thank you, who have made it through another Bit Slap, and will be asked to join the future immediately. We polished it off, starting with Cheech and Chong, Three Little Pigs. That's the correct version, by the way. After that, a little bit from Ray Dariano, Cheech and Ernie. Ray Dariano was a radio creature for a while around these parts. Don't know where he's from, but he had a record many, many years ago whose name escapes me. And that crawled off of it somewhere. Robin Williams after that, The Day Dad Made Toast. Yes, triumphs come in many forms. Stan Freberg and Dawes Butler, Good Humor. I always wondered how those guys handle it. Apparently, they don't. I understand completely. I listen to New York radio and I know what it's like. And then we heard from Lord Buckley, The Subconscious Mind. And, okay, so coming up, something from somebody you probably don't ever heard of. So I'm not even going to tell you who he is, you just have to wonder. Check my playlist page. You'll find out. That's what mystery tunes are for. I'll be back next week with something ludicrous. Haven't decided what yet. So you all just hang in there. The biggest heat of the summer is past us, we hope. And there's still plenty of time for swimming and stuff. So go get them, kids. I'll talk to you later. Have a good week, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk about something that's very close to all of you. Your bodies. We take for granted this intricate and complex machinery of nerves, brain, and blood cells, and yet everything we do is part of a well-organized chain of command. Let's look inside the human body and watch this well-oiled machine function under the guiding hand of Captain Central, the head of the central nervous system.
The captain? The captain?
Yes, what is it, Corpuscle?
We just sneezed 4 times, Captain.
We'll send 5,000 reinforcements to the nose, throat, and T-zone. We're probably catching cold again. Operator, connect me to the nasal passage, please.
Belly button here.
Operator, not the naval station, the nasal passage.
That's in the nasal passage.
This is Captain Central. I'm sending some reinforcements. Let me know if you need more help.
Oh, of course, Captain. I can guess. It ain't all right. You're talking about it.
Yes, of course. Never know. Never know what that guy's talking about. Yes, Captain Central speaking. 15,000 red blood cells lost, some slight scratch on face. Right. Operator, connect me to assimilation and digestion, please.
This is assimilation and digestion.
This is Captain Central. We have to replace 15,000 red blood cells. Small piece of steak will do it.
Sorry, Cap. Nothing but Chinese food coming through lately.
Nothing but Chinese food. Well, what? Well, do the best you can. Does anybody know what's happening around here? Operator, connect me upstairs with outside operations. What in the Sam Hill's going on division? Hello, Sam? What in the hill's going on? Why all the Chinese food lately? Sam is no longer with us. Who is it? Sure, I'm always the last one to know everything around here. That's what I mean. No cooperation. Stand by, everybody. The chief is on the loudspeaker.
This is the brain. B-R-A-N-E. My feet are cold. Send some blood down there. That is all.
Hello, engine room. Engine room, increase blood supply through orders 1, 3, 34, and 45. That is all. Scratch on face, cold feet. What's going on in the back of his mind? Operator, connect me to the unconscious, please. Well, keep ringing. Never mind. Connect me to the chemical analysis division, please. Hello, this is Captain Central. What is the alcohol content in the blood, if any?
It's pretty high, Captain. It looks like an alcohol cream.
Do you know how many times he said he'd quit?
No, whistle the first few bars.
Very funny. Ha ha.
Now hear this. Alcohol is now present in the blood. Any man found drunk will not be allowed to watch buffrin dissolve in the bloodstream.
Operator, connect me to the Department of Water Supply, please. This is Captain Central. If nothing to say, just brought you in for a laugh. Yes, what is it, Corpuscle?
The engine will report the heartbeat increasing rapidly, sir.
Circulate all hands at 3/4 speed. Hello, operator. Connect me to the optical division in hurry, please. Herbie, what's happening out there?
Beautiful blonde approaching, Captain.
Let's go after this one.
Corpuscle, prepare for action. Now hear this. All glands, secrete. Operator, connect me to the stomach, please. Hello, stomach? What's happening? Any butterflies down there yet?
Yes, all over the place. Oh.
Corpse, hurry up with that blood pressure count. Operator, connect me to the lower lip, please.
Hello?
Connect me to the upper lip, please.
Hello?
Can you guys get together?
Sure, what do you want?
Pucker up and get ready for a kiss. What happened?
We've been slapped.
Operator, connect me to the right hand, please. Hello, righty? Make a fist and let her have it.
We can't do that. It's a girl.
Ah, go ahead. Let her have it.
Hello, this is self-control. May I say something?
Ah, shut up. Hit her. We can't do that. It's a female.
I say hit her. Who are you? I don't know. Nobody ever told me. Jeez, it, fellas, we just woke up the unconscious.
What's all the yelling and screaming about? I'm trying to get some sleep. It's 3:00 in the morning.
Well, we're having a little trouble, sir, and we thought you'd help us out.
What's the problem? Oh, I don't always like to help out.
Well, it's about this girl. She slapped us in the face and...
Hit her!